Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp, host of the Dollars and Cents Show. Welcome to episode number 48, how you or your teenager can become a published author. And I'm very excited and very happy to be bringing this podcast episode to you because I have a co-presenter. I presented this workshop at a homeschool convention a couple years ago, and Rachel Coker, who is a 17-year-old published author, joined me. And we just had a great time. We had a standing room only crowd, and Rachel shared her story about how she became the youngest author to be published by Zondervan, a major publishing house. And in the podcast, we start out by talking about the difference between traditional publishing, which is what Rachel's familiar with, and with self-publishing. And then we also talk a little bit about platform, which is basically how you market or advertise your book. And Rachel and I compare and contrast the difference between traditional publishing and self-publishing. Then there's plenty of time in this podcast for questions from the audience. Rachel answered questions about how long it took her to write her novel. Did she do her own editing? What does the traditional publishing house pay for? How to find an agent? Really excellent, excellent questions. This podcast is going to be in two parts. So this is the first part where we talk about the difference between traditional and self-publishing. And then you'll probably definitely want to tune in to part two. That will be episode number 49, because a lot more questions from the audience about everything from using a pen name to getting a Christian book published in a secular market and copyright and all kinds of wonderful stuff like that will be in part two of the Dollars and Cents Show. So make sure you tune in for part two of How a Teenager Can Become a Published Author. Hope you enjoy this first part. Authors, writers, bloggers, self-publishers, do you find the business and tax issues affecting your business to be confusing? Well, Business Tips and Taxes for Writers is here to help. Inside this information-packed book, you're going to find helpful tips on the best business structure for writers, legitimate tax deductions you can take, when to consider corporate status or the benefits of LLC status for your business. How about some simple and easy record-keeping tips and information about how you need to deal with inventory and sales tax? Whether you're a blogger, article writer, a multi-book author, or even a small self-publisher, you will find insider information from tax expert Carol Topp. Business Tips and Taxes for Writers is for the serious writer who would like to make money as a published author and keep it. You can find Business Tips and Taxes for Writer over at taxesforwriters.com. And have you read Christopher Paolini's Aragon? This whole series of books he wrote as a homeschooled teenager. They've now become motion pictures, right? How about Alex and Brett Harris, who wrote a nonfiction book, wonderful book called Do Hard Things? They were both homeschooled. Anne Frank, you ever thought about that? She never, of course, saw her work published. She was a Jewish girl hiding from the Nazis during World War II, but quite a famous author. If you think about it, her diary has changed the world. And there's Rachel, Rachel Coker. Her first book is called Interrupted. She's going to tell more about her story, but I just wanted to introduce you to these, just a handful of teenagers. There's more out there that can inspire you. We did not bring a camera. Did you bring your camera? Darn, we want to get it. Can someone get a picture? Look at this crowd. Okay, there are two types of publishing, at least. Traditional, I told you I was published by a small press, so I got a little familiarity with that, meaning they only publish a few titles. Rachel's going to talk to you about more traditional publishing with a large press. All this is on your handout, so I mean for you just to listen and look at the slides, and you can go look at the handout later. There's a lot of information on there. If we don't get to it all, at least it's on the handout with a lot of links and helpful information for you.
Self-publishing, sometimes now called indie publishing, has really been taken off because of technology. There's even different levels of that. I call one of them hand-holding. The first book I wrote was called Homeschool Co-ops, How to Start Them, Run Them, and Not Burn Out. It's the name of a workshop I'm doing tomorrow morning. I used a kind of a hand-holding self-publishing organization called Aventine. They publish only Christian material. You might want to check them out. I think I paid $400, but it was helpful to have somebody help me and walk me through it, my first book. There's a wonderful service that came about called CreateSpace. They're owned by Amazon, createspace.com. It's on your handout. They're a little less hand-holding, but still walk you through it. Fabulous. I've been very, very pleased with their services. Basically, you upload a PDF of the interior of your book. You can upload a PDF of your cover that you design or you hire someone to design. I've always hired someone because I'm an accountant, not a designer. Or you can use their cover creation program, and voila, you can get a book shipped to you, proofread it, and then after you approve it, it's up on Amazon. Costs you a whopping $25. And you get to set the price of your book. They'll tell you what it will cost to print it, so then you set the price at what you want it to make a profit. And it's pretty sweet when I get a little email from CreateSpace about so many hundred dollars have just been deposited into your account. It's so cool. Let me tell you, so cool. And Pamela here, my friend from co-op, we've had a co-op teacher at our homeschool co-op who I think used CreateSpace to publish kids' books, print kids' books. And that's really a neat thing to do. So even if you just want to print 50 books for your family or you're running a writing class for a homeschool group, they can have their books in print through a service like CreateSpace. And for sale on Amazon if you want to, but if you don't want to, that's okay. And finally, there's independent. Lightning Source is really more of a printer than a publisher. They will not put your book on Amazon. It's a lot less hand-holding, but you might graduate to that at some point if you want to do some major printing. Okay, I'm going fast because I want to share a lot of information with you. Rachel's going to talk a little bit about traditional publishing. The pros and the cons are here. The pros, obviously, what going with a traditional house buys you is the reputation. It's pretty cool. And Rachel stands up here and she says, I'm published with Zondervan, a major Christian publishing house. That's quite impressive, isn't it? Prestige. Look at her. Yeah. What they did for Rachel was got her an editor, although she had already had some help with that. She's going to talk a lot about that. But does the cover design, the interior formatting. What you have to do, though, and these are the big cons of traditional publishing, is Rachel's going to talk about the hoops you have to go through. You have to usually find an agent, work on what's called a book proposal, or go through a query process, which sometimes take years, and it defeats a lot of authors because they face rejection. You still have to do your own marketing. Rachel will talk about one of the reasons she's here is her publicist doesn't do everything for her. People like to meet the author, so she's still doing a lot of publicity herself. You're on their schedule, you will face rejection, probably. And like I already said, you have to get an agent. Why don't you come up? These are just some tips that I get. Again, I've not been traditionally published, but from other authors. You agree? Use an agent. Go to writers' conferences. That's a lot of times how people meet agents. They do these little agent pitches, like in 5 to 15 minutes, you meet an agent who is specific for your genre, and you pitch your idea to them, see if they like it, then they go shop it to publishers. You have to be very patient. And traditional publishing is a very good choice if you have wide, broad appeal to a mass market. I published my first book for the homeschool market. I know that no traditional publisher was gonna be interested, and that's why I went with self-publishing. So.
Hey y'all, I'm Rachel Coker. I am from Virginia, so I'm kind of like saying y'all as much as I can this week because I keep getting weird looks whenever I say it, and that kind of cracks me up. But I am 17 years old. I am a published author with Zondervan, which I assume a lot of you guys have heard about Zondervan. They're owned by HarperCollins. They're one of the largest Christian publishing companies that's out there right now. But when I was 15 years old, I got a contract for my first novel with Zondervan that I wrote when I was 14. I wrote it just in the evenings when I was finished with school. I've always loved to write since I was 11 years old. And so it's just a story that I had in my heart for a long time. It's this first book that you see over here. It's purple. It's really pretty. This is called Interrupted, right? So I started writing this book when I was 13 years old. I'd had an uncle who passed away of a brain tumor. And I was very sad, you know. And so as a way of dealing with my grief, I started writing a story about this girl who grew up in the 1940s, and her mother passed away of a brain tumor. And she's very bitter, and she's angry. And as she grows older, she starts to realize that, you know, sometimes God lets these things happen to us for a reason. And sometimes, you know, we can grow because of that. We can learn to love people. We can learn to embrace our family. So this is just, you know, stuff that a kid is writing. You know, my parents probably didn't think very much of it at the time. I didn't really talk about wanting to be an author or anything like that. But when I finished writing it, I was like, oh my gosh, I have 200 pages written on my computer. What am I going to do with this? And I didn't know anything about publishing books at all. So I did what any well-brought-up, intelligent 14-year-old girl would do. And I Googled, how do you get a book published? And that is where I've gotten the majority of my information from. It's just using the internet, okay? So I figured out I have to get an agent. Getting an agent is not like I expected at all. I was thinking Hollywood, like I'm going to be flying places. I'm going to be like all these stars with their agents. It's not like that. Agents are actually kind of boring, but they're really important people to have on your side and on your team. And so I actually ended up writing what Mrs. Top was talking about. You want to write a proposal. You want to write a cover letter. So what this basically looks like if you're trying to get published by a traditional publishing company is you want to send an email, or some people prefer handwritten, you know, typed or whatever letters, and you want to tell them, you know, about yourself. And so mine basically consists of, hey, I'm a teenager, which wasn't very impressive, I'm sure, at the time, but I just told them, you know, I'm in high school. I love to write. You know, I would love to have a career writing. And, you know, this is a story that I wrote. And so I talked about my story. I told them a little bit about my book. And I sent it to about 20 different names that I'd gotten off the internet of respected Christian agents. And I got about 20 rejection letters back in the mail. Okay? So you guys can imagine, like, most teenagers have to deal with, like, peer pressure and, oh my gosh, you wore that skirt 2 days in a row type of thing. And for me, it was, hey, you're not a very good writer, or you're too young, or no one's interested in publishing books like the stuff that you're writing right now. So I was getting that stuff every single day. Like, that's when she said one of the cons of traditional publishing is you get that rubbed in your face a lot, people who aren't interested and who you don't have the right fit for. But all it takes is one person who is interested to really make things happen, and I finally got that one man. He's a very great agent, one of the most respected in the business. His name is William K. Jensen, and he read my cover letter, and the first thing he thought was, oh, I homeschooled my kids. That's so cute. I'm going to do this kid a favor. I'm going to read her story and give her some advice. He ended up reading it, loving it, calling my mom saying, when can I sign a contract with your daughter? And before we knew it, I had a contract with an agent, and I had a contract with Zondervan. Within just a couple weeks, things were starting to come together, and it's definitely, you know, a blessing, and I feel, you know, I understand this doesn't happen to too many different people. I haven't heard of anyone else it's happened to yet, but I'm hoping it'll happen to someone else soon. But so I think that the most important thing, if we're talking specifically about traditional publishing, is to get your name out there to agents and to get people to like you and to form relationships with people. The more relationships you have with people on the inside, the better your chances of getting published or one of these big companies is going to be. You have to have something that's going to relate to people. For me, I mean, I'm a 17-year-old girl. So I blog, and I go and I speak to different groups of young people, and I try to be funny and interesting, and I'll make, like, vlog videos on my website where I'm talking about my two different personalities. I'm a teenager, and I'm an author. So I'll read, like, reviews for my book, and I'll read them, like, in British accents, and I'll be like, Chasing Jupiter by Rachel Coker, and people will just love it. They'll be like, oh, this is so funny and so cute. And so I think that that's a very important thing, is you have to stay true to yourself, but you definitely have to be more professional, and you have to deal with that idea of rejection if you're going to go after a traditional publishing company.
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna move in. Hang on, Rachel. We're going to move into self-publishing. Does anybody have any questions about traditional publishing? Rachel can answer at this time. Yeah.
Okay, so how long did it take me to write my book is what you're asking? Well, I started Interrupted, like I said, when I was about 13 or 14 years old, and that was when I was just writing in the evenings. You know, I didn't have any type of pressure or anything from anyone because I never thought I was going to get published. And so writing it probably took me about 5 or 6 months, okay? So I would just be writing. You know, it was just so happy-go-lucky, you know, no pressure or whatever. With my second book, Chasing Jupiter, which actually came out this past December, I wrote that one when I was 16, so it's a little bit different. It's like set in the 1960s about a girl who has a younger brother who has autism, and nobody knew what autism was in the 60s, so their whole family thought of as being kind of like crazy and weird, but he's just so sweet and so cute and so fun, and she really the older girl really has to learn how to protect her brother and protect her family and figure out what her own place in the world is. So that one actually took me a little bit longer because I had to deal with the stress of my first book coming out. I was doing radio and TV interviews, and I was flying places to do book signings. So that one probably took me about 7 or 8 months to write. And then the one I'm writing right now, I'm working on a third book, is taking me even longer. So I'm just realizing that, you know, if you don't have a contract yet, you know, it's just so easy for you. So just write. It's just going to get harder once you actually have to start dealing with the pressures of other things. Oh, like, does it cost money to get published by a traditional publishing house? No. It didn't cost me a cent. Even my agent, I didn't have to pay him at all until I got my money from Zondervan. So, if you're doing self-publishing, it is going to usually cost you some startup money because you have to pay to print the book. You have to pay to get it out there. Zondervan has a whole team of people who just do that. I never have to pay to market it. I never have to ask people if they'll do any type of reviews for it, if they'll put it in their magazines. Zondervan pays for all of that. So when I, you know, just being my normal teenage self, happened to hear from a friend that they saw my book featured in, like, Girls Life magazine or something, I didn't have to pay a cent for that. And it's in there, a full page for all the teenage girls across the country who are interested in buying a book their Christmas season, you know, written by a teenager. So it's fantastic. And then my agent, yeah, when I get my check from Zondervan, I send my agent 15% of it. And so that's where he gets his money, is when he gets me my money. Yeah. Where is the best place to find a good Christian agent? Google, right? I mean, that's what I did. But Christian writers conferences, like Mrs. Top said, is a great place to find great Christian agents. Or lots of times, if you're just searching Christian agents, or, you know, there will be websites. Okay, and so what I did when I was doing my research is I would go to a website and I would look under the list of authors that this agent represents. If they're authors that I like, that I respect, or that I've heard of, then I'm like, okay, this seems like it would be a great guy to go with. If it's an author that is publishing something completely off the wall or completely against my beliefs or something, then that sort of reflects what the agent believes. And I'm going to say, okay, maybe that's not the right fit for me. So I think that would be a great way to figure out, you know, who's a legit agent and who's not. It's just to take some time and look at their different websites. Oh, great question. Did I do my own editing on my first book? Authors are actually the worst editors for their own work, if you really think about it. When I look at my work, I can't see it the way that a reader would see it, because when I'm reading it, I'm like, I either overanalyze everything and I can't see what's good about it, or I'm completely blind to the things that needed to be changed. So it's great to have other people looking at your work and giving you advice. When I first started out writing, I first wrote my first ever story for a sixth grade school assignment that my mom gave me when I was in my first year of middle school. And I wrote my first short story, and my mom was like, you're a better writer than I am, and you're 11. And so when I first started writing, I actually had a writing coach, someone who lived in another state, who I communicated with through email, and I would send him my stories, and he would give me advice, and he would critique them for me and taught me, you know, everything that I knew about the basics of creative writing, which is something I do now for young people, as I love to, you know, have these relationships with young people where I email them, they send me their stories and stuff. So that's where I sort of learned how to write. And then once I stopped working with him and I was doing all my own stories, before I ever had an agent, before I had an editor, which are two things I have now. I have someone who gets paid. I have two different people who get paid to look at my work and critique it. But my best editors were like my sister and my best friend, okay? Because I write books for young people, like for teenagers or people like me. And so I have a teenage sister who's 15, and I have a best friend who's 17. So who better to give my stories to and get feedback from than them? Because they're going to be honest with you, and they're going to tell me what people will think. And then after they go through it, oh, and of course my mom will be like, no, this is spelled wrong, or, you know, she's a homeschool mom, so she does that. And then after that is when I send it to my agent and my editor, who both get paid to actually look at my work and give feedback on it. Oh, is my travel cost, is my travel cost out of pocket, or is it covered by Zondervan? Both. Okay, it depends. This convention right here today, Zondervan is at this convention right now. They have a booth downstairs. So one of the options was I could come with Zondervan and they could cover some of my expenses and I would sign at their table. But I really kind of wanted my own table so I could meet people and, you know, do my own stuff. So I paid for the gas for this convention and the food. Luckily, Mrs. Top has offered for me to stay at her house so I get, you know, free lodging and stuff. But I covered that myself. However, Zondervan will sometimes fly me to conventions specifically to sign at their table. I went to Seattle in January, and I signed 200 copies of my book in 20 minutes, and then we sold out at the American Library Association conference up there. They paid for all of my airfare, my hotel, my food, my taxi, all for me and my mother, since I'm under 18. And they did the same thing when I went to Philadelphia last year for a conference. So if it's something Zondervan's sending me to, yeah, then they're going to pay for it. And they're going to pay for my mom, too, because I'm under 18. So it's a great benefit of being a teen author. And we'll take more questions at the end, but we're going to move on right now.
Rachel failed to mention that. She did touch on this idea that she has a micro business being a writing coach. So you can find her at rachelcoker.com. Okay. Coker, C-O-K-E-R, just like it sounds. We're going to talk about self-publishing for a little bit and the pros and cons of this. The advantages of self-publishing is you are more in control of the timing, how fast your book might come out, or the content of your book, or, you know, all those things. You're in control. No rejections. That's kind of nice. And usually better profits. A traditional publisher, like Rachel said, all these things are paid for her. Well, where are they coming from, though? Usually, as Zondervan pays for them, yes, but from the book sales. So a traditional publisher usually makes a royalties of about $1 or maybe $2 a book, but it's usually about $1 a book, okay? In self-publishing, you usually make better profits, but the con is, of course, the investment up front of hiring an editor, hiring a book designer, some things like that, buying your own ISBN, which is the international book number that you need to buy so you can get your book sold through bookstores, including Amazon, stuff like that. The traditional publishers, Rachel's telling me, of course, a traditional publisher usually sells more books. So there you go. It's a lot harder to sell books when you're self-publishing because, again, it's all on you. The pro and the con, it's all on me. You know, if you want that control, but it's all on you. So the marketing is actually for everybody, whether you're traditionally published or self-published, the marketing will be almost all on you. There's a lot of stuff that you as the author, like Rachel said, people want to see the author. And Zondervan sells more books the more Rachel is out there presenting herself as an author. So the author is going to have to do the marketing. When you're self-published, you're doing all the marketing. But there are so many neat opportunities. I just want to touch on a print on demand that was CreateSpace. Lulu.com is another one. Or think about electronic books. ClickBank.com is one way I sell PDF versions of my books. Smashwords is one way I convert a Word document to ebook format for the Kindle and for the Nook and for the iPad. And Kindle Direct Publishing, again, owned by Amazon. About 80%, maybe even more, of ebooks are Kindle books. I get regular checks from Kindle Publishing for my ebook versions of my books. I finally, after 2 years, got a check from Barnes & Noble for a whopping $10. So Barnes & Noble, unfortunately, is just not really selling ebooks. It's Amazon via Kindle that are selling ebooks. Just thought I'd let you know. And other authors bear that out. How you get started, and this is true whether it's self or or traditional, you know, finish writing the book. It sounds so obvious, but you know what happens is you authors, I know you fall in love with your own words, and in some way you don't want the baby to be born because then you got to take care of the baby, right? You want, you know, but finish the book. You've got something important to say. You've got a message, even if it's fiction. How many are fiction? Raise your hands higher. Fiction. Ooh, that's a lot of them, see? How about any nonfiction out there like me? Oh, that's not bad. Okay, well I can talk to you nonfiction people. I respect you fiction people, but I have no intention of writing fiction. You know, self-edit first, and there are some exercises. If you go to writers' conferences, there are some wonderful workshops to teach you how to self-edit, which means you go through and you remove the adjectives and the adverbs, right? You know, things like that. You use active nouns, all these good things your mother's been teaching you. But think about beta readers. There's this new book out called Ape, Author, Publisher, Entrepreneur. I put it on your handout. And Guy Kawasaki, the author, used what he called beta readers. He had a huge mailing list, but what he did was he said, I will send you a draft version of my book for free if you will basically read it, give me your comments, and edit it. He had 600 what he called beta readers. It's not a bad idea. And you think, well, that was 600 books I couldn't sell. No, that's 600 people who are going to talk about your book when it does come out because they had a vested interest in the. So maybe you don't want 600, okay? But Get people who will be critical. Now, Rachel tells me her best friend and her sister will be critical. Most best friends and sisters are not critical enough. So send it out to strangers. When I wrote Micro Business for Teens, I sent it out to teenagers who would critique it for me and give me their feedback. So find somebody who's brutal because they will make you a better writer. Got it? Find somebody who's brutal and honest. They'll make you a better writer. Professional editor, we covered that a little bit. And start building your platform, which is what we're going to launch into next. And Rachel can talk about how her platform is being built by herself, as well as how I build a platform. We're going to talk about blogging, social media, hang out where your people hang out. That's how you're going to find your readers. Article writing and what we're doing right now, speaking. Okay, before we launch into platform, do we have any questions at this point about self-publishing? Well, how much does it cost for an ISBN, which is the International Standard Book Number? If you buy one, $125. If you buy them in a block of 10, $250. So those of you good at math, that I bought 10. Now, you usually need an ISBN for your print version and a different ISBN for your electronic version of the same book. Okay? Right, I bought a lot of 10, so I had to use one ISBN. They're good forever. They just give you 10 numbers. And then later, you buy them from Bowker.com. I think that's on the handout, right? They're the only place that sells ISBNs. Bowker, did you not get a handout, ma'am? Bowker, it's on there somewhere. Bowker, thank you. It's on the back page. Yes? I would not put it out in a blog type environment, to be honest. A short story maybe is a blog, but not their best stuff. So you could, he's asking, sorry, I should repeat the question. He asked if you have a teenage writer, is it a good idea to take their book and self-publish it or maybe to put it out as a blog? I don't like the idea of you putting out his good stuff as a blog. Do you think John Grisham put his first book out as a blog? Blogs didn't exist when John Grisham wrote his first book, but no, you maybe share a short story as a blog to show you're a good writer, but a lot of writers, it's becoming very popular to write very short books, put them out for free or for the 99 cents on Kindle, you build a following. Then, after you have about 2, 3, maybe even 4 or 5 books, you build a readership, and the next reader's looking for it, and then you give them the best stuff that you charge them. It's just the model that a lot of authors, especially fiction authors, are using these days. Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry, I need to repeat the question for the audio. He said, is it possible to self-publish a book and then have it picked up later by a publisher? And yes, it entirely is. Matter of fact, Dave Ramsey, how many know that name? Dave Ramsey, he self-published his books at first. He became very popular, obviously. And then of course, he has either formed his own publishing company or I think he's been picked up by major publishers. Yeah, or sometimes what happens is you prove yourself to have a following. It typically takes about sales of about 5,000 books as a self-publisher before a traditional publisher will look at you. But if you can manage to sell 5,000 copies, then you go to a traditional publisher. They may not want that first book, but they may publish your second and beyond. Okay, one more question, and then we're going to move on. Yes, sir. Okay, he asked about ebooks. The 99 cents might be that your throwaways or even free, and then what is the going rate? It seems they can really run the gamut, but it seems like, what do you guys, are you guys buying ebooks? $2.99, $4.99, roughly $10.99 if they're established author and really good. Are your books available in Kindle and ebook? I know they are. I bought Interrupted an ebook. iTunes. Kindle, Nook, and iTunes. And what? Do you know what it sells for in Kindle? That's cheap, $2.99? I didn't think it was that cheap. Sell for very cheap. As a self-publisher, like all of it is okay, Kindle, Amazon skims off a tiny little bit, but yeah, it's like I get 70% royalties from an ebook, and most traditional publishers, I don't know what you get as royalties. You get bigger royalties in ebooks. Right, but per dollar, so her percentage is big, but the actual dollars, but still, she's probably still making the $1 or $2 off of the ebooks that she might off of the print books.
Didn't Rachel do a great job of explaining the wonderful experience she has being a published author at such a young age? I hope you were inspired and encouraged. You can find Rachel's blog at rachelcoker.com Her last name is spelled C-O-K-E-R. So rachelcoker.com. Read about her, her blog, her books, and what she's up to now. And make sure you come back in 2 more weeks and tune in to part 2. That will be episode number 49 of the Dollars and Cents Show for a continuation of Rachel and I presenting about the difference, again, between traditional and self-publishing and also building a platform and how a parent can help a teenager become a published author, and a lot more questions that Rachel and I answer about the whole process of becoming published authors. Until then, have a great time, keep writing, and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.